There are many ways that people tell us we can get to God, and a lot of them aren't real good. Well, actually, I believe there's only one way, and that is through Jesus. That Jesus is the only one who was God, is God, came, lived the life that we couldn't live, died on the cross, and rose again for us. And we're so thankful for Him today. If you can open up your Bibles, we're going to get right into the Word today. Matthew chapter 9, verse 14. It's page 740 if you have one of our Bibles. There may be one in front of you. We like to look into the Bible and have you read along as we go through this today. We have an important passage. And today I'm going to share just a lot from God's Word. And also, just to let you know that I got a lot of good insight from this passage from John MacArthur. He wrote a fantastic commentary. So I just wanted to give him a little bit of credit. So we're going to look at Matthew chapter 9, verse 14 through 17. As a church, we've been going through Matthew for a little while, so we pick right up here. It says, "One day the disciples of John the Baptist came to Jesus and asked Him, 'Why don't your disciples fast like we do and the Pharisees do?' Jesus replied, 'Do wedding guests mourn while celebrating with the groom? Of course not. But someday the groom will be taken away from them. Then they will fast. Besides, who would patch old clothing with new cloth? For the new patch would shrink and rip away from the old cloth, leaving an even bigger tear than before. And no one puts new wine into old wineskins. For the old skins would burst from the pressure, spilling the wine and ruining the skins. New wine is stored in new wineskins so that both are preserved." As we look at this text, I want to bring some things to your attention here today. We see in verse 14, it says the disciples of John the Baptist came to ask Jesus a question. John the Baptist was the man that God sent to come before Jesus to announce that Jesus was coming. It was actually even John's cousin who came and preached, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is near." At this point in Matthew, we see that John actually has been arrested. Okay? So John the Baptist is arrested where he'll ultimately be killed for his faith. So John's disciples come over and begin to ask Jesus questions. These were the guys who followed John, but John wasn't there to follow anymore. Here, this is interesting for this reason, okay? John himself said that God sent him to prepare a way for Jesus, right? So John's whole reason to come was to say, "Here's Jesus, follow Jesus." That was his whole reason. At one point, at the end of John chapter 1, he says, "Look, here comes the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." And at that point, we see some of John's disciples leave John and begin to follow Jesus, which they should have, right? So they should have stopped following John and followed Jesus. John in John chapter 3 actually also tells his disciples and others that Jesus is the one they should follow. He says it even more clearly. He is the Christ. I'm not. He is the Messiah. He's the one you need to follow. So as we fast forward in the history a little bit, John has been in jail, and we still have a couple of guys who are supposed to now be following Jesus, but they're not. Do you see that? They're not following Jesus. They kind of miss John's word, and they're just sort of floating around, doing their own thing. They mean well, they're probably really good guys, but they're just not following Jesus. And the problem here is that they began to be religious. Okay? They began to be religious. They were supposed to go to Jesus, and instead they begin to practice rituals and spiritualism and they just began to do things that everybody else does, and they miss Jesus. Because if you go back and you look at their question again, they said, says the disciples of John the Baptist came and asked, "Why don't your disciples fast like we do and the Pharisees do. The Pharisees were religious leaders in the time who were really, really good at doing religious stuff. In fact, if you looked for somebody who looked spiritual, it was them. They loved looking spiritual. They did everything for show. There were three main things that they emphasized publicly. The Pharisees. That's who these pictures are. Are guys from a movie dressed to look like the Pharisees. They have their religious clothes on. You know anybody who wears religious clothes? You know, today maybe they would have the big cross necklace and, you know, they really want to look religious. And they would do three things that were really important to them. The first was giving to the poor. They had to give to the poor. The next thing was that they had to pray. And they had to pray using prayers that were written down. And they had to repeat these things. And the last thing that they did was they fasted. They had to fast. Fasting means to abstain from food for a period of time. Their Jewish law told them they had to fast 2 times a week. Anybody here fast 2 times a week? No? I dry fast 2 times a week. The doctor probably tells me I should, but I don't fast 2 times a week. But they did these things so that they could be right with God. So they would read written prayers over and over again, they would give money to the poor, and they would fast 2 times a week. Jesus shows up in their lives in Matthew chapter 5. He confronts them. He confronts these guys. And he says, here's the deal, okay? When you give to the poor, you want everybody to notice you. Because they believe the more public you did things and to draw more attention made you look more spiritual. Jesus didn't think so. And Jesus looked at them and said, when you go to give to the poor, you're like blowing trumpets. Can I have everybody's attention? Watch me give to the poor. Aren't I good? You're like, what? And Jesus says, when you pray, you don't just pray to God. You stand up in a public place and you want everybody to look at you. Look at me, everybody. I'm praying. Aren't I so good? Don't I look religious? And then when they fasted, when they would go without food for a little while, they're supposed to be praying to Jesus, right? They're supposed to be praying to God and seeking God. And instead, they would wear their nastiest clothes. And they would make themselves look dirty, and they would hang their head and be like, oh. And somebody would say, what's wrong with you, man? Oh, I'm just fasting. Aren't I spiritual? Look at me. I'm spiritual. I'm starving, but God is good and I'm spiritual. And Jesus said, you're a hypocrite. You're not doing it because you really want to give to the poor. You're not doing it because you really want to pray. And you're not doing it because you really want to fast and seek God. You're doing it to look good. You're doing it for the show. And he says, you're a hypocrite. And he warned everybody. He says, unless your righteousness exceeds these guys, you're not going to heaven. And people would say, huh? What? How can I be more right with God than these guys? These guys are really good. And Jesus said, no, they're not really good. They're really fake. And that's not what I've called you to be. So John the Baptist's disciples, his followers, were hooking up with these guys. Jesus, why don't you fast like we do? We're really spiritual. You're not too spiritual, Jesus. Isn't this everything? He's the Son of God. What do you mean he's not too spiritual? So Jesus already has problems with them. We're going to look at the next verse. Jesus answers them with this thought. He says, do wedding guests mourn while celebrating with the groom? Of course not. But someday the groom will be taken away from them, and then they will fast. He talked about their fasting thing right here. Okay? You see that picture? Happy people, right? Is marriage good? Yes. That poor guy has no idea what he's in for, though. Am I right? That's why I do counseling. If you look at the bride, Doesn't the bride look like she's got some hidden motive? She's like, I mean, don't she just look sneaky? She's like, you know? She looks like, I got you. And he's like, duh. You know? But marriage is a beautiful thing. Amen? It really is. Recently, I was able to marry James and Courtney. I officiated their ceremony, I guess I should say, of James and Courtney. And it was awesome. And you know what? At the reception, it was a celebration, wasn't it? I mean, if you weren't there, you could guess, right? Have you ever gone to a wedding where it wasn't a celebration? That's not a good wedding. It should be a celebration. People shouldn't be sad. They should be celebrating. God is good. Woo, you guys are awesome. We hope things go well for you, right? When you fast, it's not really a celebration. It's a time of seeking God. Jesus says, when the groom's at the wedding, why are all the other people, they wouldn't be sad, they would be celebrating. So Jesus says, you know what? I am like the groom at the wedding, and when I show up, it's good times. Why do you fast? You fast because you want to hear God's voice. For Jesus' disciples, they didn't need to go without food to hear God's voice. Jesus was talking all the time. Do you see that? What's up, Jesus? How you doing, Peter? Right? Jesus was there all the time. They didn't have to fast to hear God's voice. It would have just been religious nonsense. Do you see that? It just would have been something spiritual to do, but you're completely missing Jesus. People also fast to get in God's presence. You were in God's presence. He was there. It would have made no sense to fast. Jesus was there. You also fast in order to have God help you. Say if you're in a crisis and you need God to intervene, you would spend time fasting, which means you don't eat for that day or whatever, but you spend that time in prayer. And God, I need you. And you fast. If the disciples needed Jesus' help, He was right there to help physically. Do you understand? Like at that point in time, Jesus was right there. Where's Jesus? Dude, He's right here. I sat next to Him on the bus, right? He was right there. It would make no sense. Jesus, please talk to me. Jesus is like, what's wrong with you, dude? I'm right here. Talk to me, right? It wouldn't make any sense. What John's disciples wanted to do was just be religious. Do you see that today? They wanted to just be religious. They wanted it to look good. So Jesus addresses fasting here. Let's move on to the next verse. In the next verse, Jesus says this. Now, before we actually look at this verse, let's explain what's going on here. John's disciples, again, they should have been following Jesus, right? They weren't following Jesus. They came to Him with a question about fasting, but I believe it was a loaded question. It really wasn't about fasting. It was really to come to Jesus and say, why aren't you guys as spiritual as we are? Because when they came, they had their own thoughts of what spirituality was. Do you understand? They had their own little box. And if Jesus was God, He needed to fit nicely in their box. That's why they said, our little box says we do these things. And I don't see you doing that, Jesus. What's the deal? So Jesus addresses fasting, and then He begins to talk about the deeper issue, and that's the box they were placing Him in. And here's the next verse. Jesus says, besides, who would patch old clothing with new cloth? For the new patch would shrink and rip away from the old cloth, leaving an even bigger tear than before. Does anybody sew? I don't sew. Good job. High five for the person who sews. Awesome. That's important, right? When their day, they would sew. You have to make your own clothes, really, in this day. And their cloth and fabric was usually like a wool or some type of linen. And it would be very much prone to shrinking. So if you had an old shirt, whatever, and you had a big hole in it, if you took a new cloth and you sewed it to it, the new cloth, as Jesus said, would shrink and it would just rip your fabric up. It wouldn't be a good deal, would it? In the same way, Jesus is saying this, that the ways of God are completely new and completely different to the box that you have. And Jesus is basically saying this, you cannot connect Jesus to your old rituals and religion. You cannot connect Jesus to your old rituals and religion. Again, these people were spiritual. They thought, to be right with God, I give to the poor. Woo, everybody look at me. I pray loudly, and I go without food twice a week. And when everybody looks at me, that's somehow I'm closer to God. They were trying to do things to get right with God. Jesus says, you can't connect me to your old stuff. Your old religion and rituals, they don't work. Jesus is bigger than your rituals and religion. You can't do stuff externally to get right with God. Jesus makes you right internally. See, Jesus works completely different. And he's telling them, your whole box is wrong. It's wrong. You can't just add me to your life. You can't add me to your life like a patch. Many people try this. That they're hurt and wounded through life. Does life just stink sometimes if we're honest? Does life hurt sometimes? Don't people hurt you? And many people want to try many different things. What Jesus is saying is you can't just take Jesus and sew him into your life and keep doing the same things you're doing. You can't do that. You can't just believe your own rituals that go against God and his Bible. But because you're religious, it's okay. And you just add Jesus to the mess that is your life. That doesn't work. It doesn't work. And the end result is you end up with a bigger hole than before. See, I think this. I think a lot of times people who, they try different things. They need hope or they need strength, so they'll listen to Oprah and try whatever new thing she's doing. Or they'll go to church with somebody, or they'll try some new age religious thing, or they'll just meditate, or this week I'm going to do karate, or next week I'm going to read this self-help book, or I'm just going to jog every day and that'll fix all my problems. And you'll try all kinds of things, and some people even go towards the religious bend and they'll have angels everywhere in their house, and they'll pray to people who are dead, and they'll do kinds of religious stuff. None of that works. None of that works. Some people give to the poor thinking it's going to help. It doesn't help. Some people think, well, if I give more money to help cure breast cancer, that'll make me right with God and I'll be a good person. That doesn't help. Is there anything wrong with doing some of these things like praying and fasting and giving to the poor and giving money to help stop breast cancer? Is there anything wrong with that? No, there's not anything wrong with that. But you can't do that as a way to get right with God. Right? You just can't. You can't. In the same way that perhaps I can't take my Saturn, I have a little Saturn. I used to have a cool car before I got married. Anybody in that boat? I built a Nova, which I loved. But the best car that I had was a 68 Firebird. It was awesome. It was a monster. It had a 389 in it that came out of a Chevelle or something. It had 2 4-barrel Holley carburetors on the top. That's 8 barrels of gas, people. It looked cool. Joe saw my car. Wasn't it cool? I hit the gas. No, like, you know how you have to power brake your car? Dude, you didn't power brake this. This was an automatic. You just hit the gas, and it would sit and spin for about 10 seconds, all gas, and I dug holes in the asphalt. And I'm not really smart. I did it in front of my house. And my dad knew and was furious because we had two big posi holes in the asphalt where I was just like, for about, 30 seconds, put holes in the asphalt. That car was cool. My Saturn is not that cool, okay? The Firebird had a 6.6. My Saturn, 2.2. Okay? My Firebird, I don't know how many horsepower, but it was crazy. I think I have a hamster on a wheel in my Saturn. Okay? Now, imagine how stupid it would look if I took my Saturn and got flames painted on the side. Okay? And I got a spoiler on the back and T-tops. Right? You're laughing. You're mocking me. But wouldn't that be dumb? Look, now my car is cool. I'm closer to having a cooler car. No, I'm just sad. That's what that would be. That's kind of maybe what it's like when you just try to be religious to get closer to God. It's just kind of sad. It doesn't really add up. Well, I can buy more lawn ornaments that look like angels or something, or I can read my horoscope, or I can be good, or I can go to church once in a while, right? Or I can just get outdoors in nature, or I can go fishing. For some of those things, there's nothing wrong. For some of those things, they are wrong, but some of those things there's nothing wrong with. But you're not getting any closer to God than I am getting closer to cool by putting a spoiler on my Saturn. It's just kind of sad. And that's what Jesus was telling them. You can't just connect me to your old religions and your old rituals. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. Look at the last verse we're going to look at today. Verse 17. Jesus says, no one puts new wine into old wineskins. For the old skins would burst from the pressure, spilling the wine and ruining the skins. New wine is stored in new wineskins so that both are preserved. Let's talk about wine, wineskins today. They would make wineskins out of, what does that look like? It's a wineskin. It looks like a dead animal. Awesome. That's what it is. That's what they would make wineskins out of. They would take an animal and they would take the skin off the animal in one piece, if possible. And this is where the legs were. And they would tie it. See? And this is where the neck was. It would be an animal skin. It's leather. Okay? It's leather. So they would sew up the legs and they would clip off the neck. And when they would pour wine, they would actually be pouring it out of the animal's neck. Now, it's probably not as gross as it sounds. It sounds really gross. It's just the animal skin. It wasn't like there's bones and stuff in there. It wasn't that. It was kind of like a canteen, right? The Indians did the same thing when they would take animal skin, a canteen. It's leather. It's been, whatever they do to leather to make it leather, right? Rub it with rocks. Tanning, right? Good. So, but that's what it was. It was an animal skin that they prepared, and then they would sew up and use. Well, after a while, doesn't leather get old? Right? Anybody? Doesn't leather get bad? Doesn't it crack and get dry? And the interesting thing with wine, I guess, from the text, Jesus says that the wine expands after a while. So if you have a new wineskin, brand new, you stitch it up, you pour wine in it, as it ferments, I guess, it expands and pressure comes on the wine. And it stretches to a point of, let's call it, maximum stretchability. Right? I don't have another scientific term. Maximum stretchability. It's as far as it's going to go. Well, what happens when you put new wine in it? You reuse the wineskin and it's going to continue to grow. Well, if that wineskin was at maximum stretchability, it can't stretch anymore, right? It just, it rips, it busts. And it's probably getting dry and cracked anyway because it's just old. Jesus gave them this picture. We're not familiar with this because we don't carry wine like this. But in their day, they saw these every day. And Jesus said, come on, guys. It's common knowledge. You can't put new wine in an old skin. You know what's going to happen. You never do that. It's going to burst. It can't handle it. And he says, in the same way as with wine, you need to have a new wine skin. So, get this. Whatever God pours into your life, you need something new to contain it. Okay? You cannot contain what Jesus gives within your old life. Again, Jesus blowing up their thought process. Their thought process was, okay, we need Jesus, we'll just connect Him to our rituals. Jesus says, no, you can't connect me to what you're already doing. I'm bigger than what you're doing. Oh, okay, well then we'll just continue to live the way we are now and receive God's goodness. And Jesus says, no. You cannot contain what I want to give you with your old life. You need new life. What does Jesus want to give? Well, in the Bible, we see wine is a symbol of a lot of things. It's a symbol of God's goodness, God's blessing, God's provision, God's righteousness, and God's joy. Right? Are you there? So God wants to give you His goodness. Do we like goodness? We'll take goodness from God, right? Anybody? God wants to give you His joy. Anybody like joy? Joy is good. I'll take joy all day long. God wants to give you His blessing. I'll take God's blessing. God wants to give you His righteousness. That means that when God looks at you, He doesn't see anything wrong in your life and you're perfect and pure without any sin. Do you hear me today? God wants to give you His righteousness. That means all those things that you regret deep in your heart that you've never told anybody about, but it's very painful and it hurts. God wants to take that away from you and take the sting and the shame away and forgive you. That's His righteousness. And He makes you right with God just as if you've never sinned. That's what He wants to do. But Jesus said, you can't receive that. That's like new wine. You can't take that with your old ways of life. You can't take that with your old wineskins. In order to receive the goodness from God, you need new life. You need new life. The old life won't work. What's new life? The new life comes from repentance. The new life comes when God recreates you. When we go to God and we come to Him and we say, God, I give up everything for You. Lord, I stink at running my own life. I can't do it. I can't do it. And I've sinned and I've messed up so many times. And you confess your sins to God. God, You saw when I hurt that person. You saw when I lied and when I stole, when I committed adultery. And you just come to God and you say, God, You saw that stuff. You confess your sins. And realize that, listen, Jesus, you've heard of Jesus? Jesus died on the cross, not so He can become a necklace, but that He can make you right with Him. Because the Bible says your sin deserves the death penalty. Somebody has to die for your sin. You can't be right with God because you've messed up. God is perfect and you're absolutely not. You're a mess. And for me, I raise my hand too, if you're wondering. I'm a mess. I can't be right with God on my own. Cannot do it. I'm not good enough. You're not good enough either. We need something more. Somebody has to pay for our sin. That's why Jesus died. Jesus perfect, fully God, fully man, lived a sinless life, died on the cross for the sins of the world and rose again. And whoever asks Him, He will take His perfect righteousness and give it to you for your filth. It's kind of like this. If you go through the class of life and you get an F because you failed life, I get an F. Jesus went through the class of life and got an A. He lived life perfectly, lived and died on the cross and rose again. And if I ask Him, Jesus, please forgive me. And if I say, God, I know that You died for me and You rose again. Please take my bad stuff and give me Your good stuff. If we confess and if we repent, that means we say, God, I want new life, not my old life. God, I don't want like the old wineskins that can't even hold Your presence. I want new life. I want to follow You and not do the things I used to do with Your strength and with Your power. I want to stop that and do what You want me to do. And I want to follow You and start a new life, a new walk with You. And when you do that, Jesus forgives you. He cleanses you. And He starts a new thing. Listen, you have a new relationship with God. It's not religion. You don't do things to get right with God. But when you receive Him, it's a free gift. There's nothing you can do. When you get to the point where you realize, I don't need another bumper sticker, and I don't need another ceramic angel, and I don't need to just sit and meditate, and I don't need to pray to dead people. I just need Jesus. And there's nothing I can do but humbly come to Jesus. When you do that and you confess your sins and you repent, God, I can't do it. I don't want my old life. I want new life with You. And you make Him your Lord and Savior. That means He's your boss. And you realize that He cleansed you because of the cross. Listen, Jesus forgives you. And you start a new life. That's when you can begin to have God's blessing, joy, right? God's provision, God's presence, God's righteousness. I think many here today probably have tried it before, but they were still clinging on to their old life. And it's like hanging on to an old wineskin where even if God were to fill it, although I don't believe He would, but even if He were to fill it, you couldn't contain what God wanted to do anyway. God says, let go of your dead old ways of life and come to Him and receive something new. You can't connect Jesus to your old ways of life. You can't contain Him with your old ways and your religions. We need something new. Last picture. At our church, we believe we have to do something with the Bible. We opened up, if you were here, and saw, I said that the first thing we do as a church is we obey the Word. Listen, Jesus didn't just give us the Bible just so we can talk and read. And it's not so it can just be mystical. The Bible really isn't mystical. It's very practical. He didn't just give us things so we can be, I don't know, so we can have another book to read. He wants us to do what it says. And when we do that, we find Him. So here's your choice today. Your choice is this. The first choice that you have is much like the Pharisees in the Bible. Remember those guys dressed up religious-like? Do you know what they did? They found out that they could not contain Jesus within their own life. They found out that they could not connect Jesus to their religion. So they sought to eliminate Him. Which is what they did. Because they couldn't connect with Jesus or contain Jesus, they sought to have Him arrested and killed. And that's what they did. Now, I know that Jesus let Himself die. Because they could not have arrested and killed Jesus if He didn't let it happen. He was doing it for us. But that doesn't take away from the fact that they just wanted to eliminate Jesus from their life. Here's one option for you today. You can be like a Pharisee. You can be like one of these religious guys that says, you know what, I'm blocking you out, Pastor. I'm going to leave here and pretend I never heard this message. I don't want to hear Jesus again. I don't want to sit and listen to the Holy Spirit tell me what I need to do. If you feel guilty inside and you're like, man, this is for me. Can I tell you, I'm not good enough to make you have that feeling? That's God in your life. That's the Holy Spirit drawing you, saying now is the new start. Now is the day you need to get right with Him. But your choice, one of your choices, is just to say, forget it. I'll drown it out. I'll go home. I'll leave this place and crank the stereo because I don't want to have God speak to me. I don't want to feel guilty. Some will leave and say, I'll go home and smoke some pot or drink or have sex or just go to work. I'll just cut the grass. I'll just play with the kids. I'll watch football. I hope the Eagles win. But we don't watch football to drown out the voice of God in our lives. Right? It's not. But that's a choice you have today. You can choose to try to drown out God. Just like the Pharisees were not able to really eliminate Jesus. Funny thing with Jesus, you kill him, he keeps coming back. He comes back to life. In your life, if you try to eliminate Jesus, it's not going to work for you either. Because he keeps coming back. And if you can live long enough, or perhaps short enough, that you don't listen to him again because you're successful at eliminating him, as soon as you die, you're going to open your eyes and be standing before Jesus. You can't eliminate him. But can I tell you, that day it's too late. When you open your eyes and stand before Jesus, and you've been running from him, it's too late. Jesus, please forgive me. There's no forgiveness at that point. What if somebody's praying for you? It doesn't matter. You had your chance and you rejected him. But that's your choice. It's your choice. That's a choice you can make today. Here's the other choice. Seek Jesus. You can either seek to eliminate Jesus, or you can just seek Jesus. You can just say, you know what, Jesus? I want your goodness and blessing. And my religious ritual stuff is garbage. And my old life stinks anyway. I want your goodness and your blessing and mercy. Make me new so I can actually contain you with my new life. Seek Jesus. That means confess your sin. We've talked about this. You just come to Jesus and you just say, you're right, God. I did these things. You man up, if you will. You repent. That means with God's strength, you try to not do those things anymore. Okay? If you're a man who beats your wife, just for instance, confession is, I'm sorry. Repentance is, I don't beat my wife anymore. Do you see that? So many people say, I'm sorry, and they still do the same things. That's not repentance. You know? I'm sorry for cheating on you. And then you do it again. And you do it again. And you do it. There's no repentance there. God doesn't play those games. You come to God. Now, we all make mistakes. If it's a true mistake, if it's not part of your plan, if you fall short and you mess up, then you come to God and you confess your sins and you repent again. God, I'm sorry, and with your strength, I never want to do that again. You make Jesus your Savior. That means you realize He died and rose again for you. And you're only right with God because of what He did. It's not because of us. It's not because of what you do. It's because of what He did. Last thing to click. He's your Lord. He's your boss. And you say, God, I will follow you. Because you understand He gave you a new life. So you say, God, fill me with your presence and goodness, and I want to learn more about you. And listen, you find a good church to help you grow in God. You don't find a good church to grow in God in order to be forgiven. You're forgiven just from doing these things. Just from coming to God and confessing your sins and asking Him to clean you up. But it's important to help you continue to grow in God. Find a good place. Get plugged into the Word. And listen, you will grow and God will bless you. And it'll be good. But today you can seek to eliminate Christ, or you can seek Christ. I say we seek Him. We're going to go ahead and pray before we move on. Why don't we bow our heads this morning? We're almost done. If you're here today, you've heard us say that you cannot connect Jesus to your old religion. You cannot contain Him with your old life. He is bigger than that. He is much more than that. He is better than that. And you can seek to eliminate Jesus. But today I want to give an opportunity for those who want to say, I want to seek Jesus. I don't want to seek to eliminate Him. I'm tired of running. Maybe you say today, Pastor, you know, something's happening in my heart today. And I wasn't expecting it. I was just here because somebody drugged me. But something's happening in my heart. God is working in you. And today can be a new start for you. And what I'm going to do is ask you to just simply, as everybody's head is bowed and eyes are closed, I'm going to ask you to acknowledge that God's working in your life. If you want to ask Jesus to forgive you, today you can do so. And how we do it here is I want to just lead you in a simple prayer. Again, it's not about the words, that's religion. But it's about your heart. And if you mean these words or something like them, to some extent, if you mean them with all your heart, if you confess and repent, Jesus will forgive you today. And He'll give you new life. And He will live in you and bless you. And He will help you and take away the sorrow and pain and shame. Every head is bowed. And I'm not going to call you out, but I'm going to ask you to slip up your hands. You can do so now. You're not going to stand. I'm not going to make you come forward. It's none of that. Nobody's going to know but me because I'm the only one looking. But I just want to pray for you today. If that's you today, just show your hand for a second and I want to pray. Don't worry about those around you. When you stand before God, you're going to stand alone. No one else is going to be there. Your buddies won't be there. But I'll tell you, if you do that today, if God is working in your heart, it'll be the best day of your life. When you acknowledge and you receive God's blessing, when He can pour His life into you and create you something new. I'm just going to give another moment. If that's you today, just slip up your hand and you put it down quickly. I see one hand. Awesome. Anybody else today? I see another hand. If that's you, don't be embarrassed. This is you and Jesus time. You're not going to stand up. Just you and Jesus and me are going to know. Anyone else today before we move on? Okay, we're going to pray. And if today you're going to ask Jesus to create in you something new, if you're going to confess your sins and repent and turn to Jesus, I want to encourage you just to pray this prayer with me. And if you're here today and maybe things just haven't been real good or you're dry, you haven't really spent time with Jesus, you could pray this as well. We're going to pray. Jesus, we love You today. We thank You for Your Word. And today we confess our sins to You. When You look at our lives, You see things that we should have done that we didn't do. And things that we did that we should not have done. Today we confess those sins to You and we ask You to forgive them by Your blood because You died and rose again for our sins. And we choose to repent of those sins. We choose to leave that aside. and live for you today. Today we choose to stop doing the things that separate us from you. We repent of those sins. Help us to not do that anymore. And today we make you our Savior and our Lord. I know that you died and rose again to pay for my sin. And thank you for forgiving me. Help me to live for you. I make you my boss, my Lord. And I pray that you would give me new life, just as you promised. Thank you for forgiving me. And for washing me clean. I seek Jesus. In your name. Amen. Amen. Listen, if you did that today, Jesus has forgiven you. Sometimes when people pray a prayer like that, I've been with people where they felt it. Like emotionally, they responded to that. That is awesome. I've been with people who it wasn't really emotional. They just prayed it. The emotions doesn't matter. What matters is you've come to Jesus and He's forgiven you. And that's awesome. That's awesome. God is bigger than our emotions. He's bigger than our religion and ritual. He's bigger than our old life. We cannot contain Him. We cannot just connect Him to what we had before. He's starting something new.